But let's quickly pray. Thank you, Father, just for the opportunity to sit and receive once again, Lord, just to get inspired about what you're busy doing around us, Lord. That we can see your face again, Jesus, and that we can come together as brothers and sisters and just celebrate your name and celebrate the fact that we are redeemed, and that we as the redeemed, we want to shout your name, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, just for the privilege of being able to hear your voice, being able to walk in the Spirit, Lord, that we're not walking according to our own strength, but we're just looking towards you, Jesus, and you're taking us on that road, Lord, of righteousness, Lord, where we find ourselves walking in perfect harmony with you, Jesus, as we look towards you. And we lay it all before you, Lord, all the distractions tonight, all the fatigue, everything, Lord, we want to lay at your feet tonight, and we just want you to minister to us tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, yeah, lots of action this week. When Theo said, "Hey, Kirk, can you preach on Sunday evening?" I'm like, "Great, which Sunday? The one after Bayless Conley?" I was like, "Wow, okay, no pressure." But awesome listening to these guys, awesome men of God who've run this race for so long. It was 38 years he's been in, he's been saved for 38, 35 years in ministry. All these guys listening, just listening to the insights, not of themselves, majority of them, all of them, when you speak to them, they're so humble and just being like, you know what? I wouldn't be where I am now if it wasn't for Jesus. I wouldn't know what I know now if it wasn't for Jesus. You know, and to have that face-to-face encounter with Jesus, it's life-changing. You know, and all the speakers this weekend, there was, you know, they all shared various testimonies, various things, but it all came down to the same thing. All came down to the fact that Jesus changes lives. He changes lives different ways, but it all leads to the same thing. All leads to us walking on this road trying to follow him. Trying to look towards him and be like, Jesus, where are you going? Where are you moving right now? I'm tired, but I know I need to look up. I know I need to look at you. And I'm not going to share a long message tonight. I'm going to keep it short and sweet so that we can go put our feet up and contemplate the weekend. Because I know that's what we'll do afterwards. No one's really going to go sleep. We're going to go lie in bed and just pray through every session we've heard this weekend. Yeah? That's what we do as good Christians. Yeah? I mean, yeah, we lie there, we look at the ceiling, we only sleep about 2 hours a night, because the rest of the time we're just contemplating the works of God in our lives. But seriously, there's so much to reflect on from this weekend, and then there's one thing, obviously, that really stood out for me, is Jesus. Sorry, I don't have a PowerPoint for you guys, the hours were short this weekend, in between conference stuff, so you're just going to have to trust that your Bible that you all have in your lap, which I know you brought, is accurate. Okay, I know you guys rely so much on our PowerPoints to bring the accurate word, but sure you could use the Bible in your lap also. It'll work just as well. But so the theme for many of us is that Jesus changes lives. Jesus changes lives. He inspires people to hope for more than where they're currently at. He gives all of us a reason to wake up every morning. Okay, he gives us a reason to smile every morning, even when the chips are down and everything is falling apart. He gives us a reason to smile. And Bayless Conley for this morning again, I'm so glad Theo asked him to share his testimony again, because those of you who've heard it, amazing. And if you haven't heard it, maybe you overslept the conference this weekend, you know, buy the DVDs, you know, and, you know, caffeine overdose and watch all of the stuff, because it'll really bless you. But Bayless Conley's testimony for me is so amazing. One of the things he said, which really I was like, that's the God we serve. Doesn't matter how much we try and deny it, that's the God we serve, is before he even came to know who Jesus is. He said he never grew up in a church home. He never grew up in an environment where they were, you know, where they spoke about the Bible, Genesis, all that sort of stuff. He never grew up in that, but there was one name that kept coming up in his mind when he was at that point where he was like, if I do this one more time, I'm going to OD, overdose, and I'm going to die. He shared about how he, you know, he was a drug addict. He sold drugs, all that sort of stuff, illegal stuff, alcohol, everything. You know, he said all the girls he wanted, all that sort of stuff. But there's one name that came up at one stage in his life, and he said he was walking to the park, and all he could think about was Jesus. But the Jesus he was thinking about was very confusing, because he wasn't sure. He just knows that he's heard about this Jesus. Apparently this Jesus changes lives. But is it the Jesus, the guru, the good teacher, the prophet, the good guy, the nice guy, you know? And that's all he could think about, is Jesus. But who is Jesus? And now many of us wrestled. Obviously, you got to a point where you encountered the real Jesus, but many of us wrestled this day to day. Even after we give our lives to the Lord, there's still sometimes these questions because we're so excited and so zealous for Him when we've met Him for the first time. We're in that relationship. We don't often take the time to sit down and actually be like, okay, Jesus, who are you to me? Yes, you've taken me out of this addiction. You've taken me out of this, but who are you? Because those questions come from our family members, from our friends, our children at times. Who is Jesus? And when those questions come, sometimes we catch ourselves, we haven't actually sat and contemplated who Jesus really is. You know, Theo shares often, he shared again during intercession. If you aren't excited about the kingdom, if you aren't excited about lives getting touched, then you don't know the same Jesus that I know. Because if you did know the same Jesus, if you were in that relationship with Him, you'd be just as excited as He is when that soul comes to the front, when that person steps out of death and into life. I think the greatest travesty and the biggest shame that is out there is when us as believers cannot answer someone and impart that hope that we have already received. When you're walking in that street and that homeless guy, and I'm guilty just as much as the next person, when that homeless guy asks you, hey, 50 cents, like a ante, just 50 cents. Or, yeah, take this, at the robots. They're like, hey, you can have this for your daughter. It's great. It's free. Just any cents you can have, got in the car, you can give me. Anything. Like, I thought you said it's free. But anything else you have in the car, you can give to me. You know? And then be like Peter and literally be like, you know what? I don't have any money on me right now. But what I do have, I can give to you. And what I have, I can share. And what I can part is eternal life through Jesus Christ. How many of us have done that? I shared the other day with you, I often walk and I'm like, Lord, use me today. Yes, I want to be a Superman. I want to be like, save everybody. Use me. I'm so powerful in my home, in my bed as I'm praying just before I leave the house. I'm so powerful. Then you walk down the street and it's happened to me and I feel convicted and I have to repent afterwards. I have responded also, so don't get me wrong. I have responded also. But there's been those occasions where I'm walking and this person's walking opposite direction from me and they catch my eye. And I know God is telling me, go say something. He's not saying go change his life by naming all the, five revelation, churches and what they did wrong and all. He's just saying go say hello. You know why? I just want you to interact because I'll give you everything else you need. But I believe the reason we don't do that is because we don't fully grasp who Jesus is. The same Jesus who saved me wants to save everybody. And if He wants to save them, He'll give you what you need to do it. Sorry, I'm getting a bit excited from the get-go, but it is exciting. This is something that's been playing through our mind this whole conference. All the frills, all the fuss we do, it's great. And it's, we all love good music. Okay? We all love to worship lacquer. You know, it's good when everybody, when there's 1,000 odd people in a auditorium and we're all singing in the same song. That's great. But do you know Jesus when you leave that auditorium? Because if you did, you'd be sitting in your car singing. Okay, your heart would break. Does your heart break when you see those people on the side of the road? When you go to the mall and there's those women standing with their children at the thing, does your heart break? And some people are called to minister to them on a more regular basis. Some are called to minister to other people, but your heart still needs to break. There still needs to be a part of it because you're walking as Jesus walked. You've got Christ living inside of you. And I guarantee you, His heart breaks for every single soul that is lost and every single person that is hurting. Okay, so you need to ask yourself that question because it is an important question. Who is Jesus? Jesus asked the same question of His disciples. Okay, a well-known scripture we all know, Matthew 16, okay, where He asked all His disciples and He's like, who do the people say I am? Who do they say I am? I've been walking around here for a while now. So you obviously hear things. Who do they say I am? And they're like, oh, you're Elijah. Some say Jeremiah. Some say, one of the other prophets, one of these guys. They all say you're someone like that. And then Jesus asked them, okay, that's great. But I think He was just setting them up to ask them this question, but who do you say I am? Because they all say I am, a good teacher. I'm a prophet. I'm just a really wise guy, You speak to all these new age people now, they're all, Jesus is great, He was such a wise guy. He was like Confucius, He was like Buddha, He was like all these guys, such a great oak. Okay? So Jesus is like, okay, great. That's fantastic. But who do you say I am? Let them say what they want. But I want to know, because you are following me. You're walking. Who do you say I am? So obviously they give him an answer. But when Jesus describes himself, he just uses three words. I believe two of them are actually, he's just expanding on the first one. And I'm just going to stick on these three for a little bit. So Jesus describes himself using three words. John 14 verse 6. And this is where I'm going to stick. John, fantastic. I love this book. Just really describing the character of God. Just describing God's love constantly, over and over again. John 14 verse 6. This is now Jesus is starting to explain, you know, he's going to leave soon and all this sort of stuff. And he says, you know, Thomas there asks him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Okay, because they want to now follow him. Where are you going, Jesus? We've been following you the whole time. Now you say you're going and we can't follow. We don't know how to get there. How do we get there? So Jesus, all he says, his answer is, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way to the Father, and he expands on that, the truth and the life. And obviously you can go into many different ways. Yeah, but Jesus is, you know, the Rose of Sharon. He's all these sort of things. He's the Redeemer, all these sort of things. But Jesus just says, I'm the way to the Father. I'm the truth and the life. You know, and this scripture has been playing in our mind our whole weekend. The way to the Father, the truth and the life. And why this is so significant, if you think about the people he was talking to, they all believed they had the way to the Father. They all believed they had a way into eternity, into God's good books, all that sort of stuff. They all believed they had it. But the difference in what Jesus was saying is, you are looking to all the do's and don'ts. You're looking, how do I get there? Okay? If you look through, you know, Galatians talks about it. Galatians 2:16, Romans 3:26. The whole of the scripture is talking about, you know, the Pharisees and the Jews were obsessed with what they need to do. You know, and granted, what they got was perfect. You know, Romans talks about that the law was perfect when it was given. But sin, seizing its opportunity, used it to twist it against us because it highlighted the fact we can never get to that standard. We can never get to the Father trying to attain that standard by our works. All those works are something we're doing on the outside. I'm trying to build myself up. Yes, it's great. People might think you're all holy and all that. But at the end of the day, what does it mean? Jesus is saying, okay, you're so used to everybody teaching you do this, do that, eat this, eat that. Okay? I'm telling you, the way to the Father is me. The way to the Father is me. There's no rules and regulations, all that sort of stuff. Because you know what? You're guaranteed to fail. You're guaranteed to fail. If you walk out here again now and you come to Theo and you're like, Theo, how do I do this? How do you do that? Yes, he can give you tips, he can give you guidance, but if you're looking towards that alone, outside of Jesus, you are going to fail. You know? On Theo's heart, and he's teaching me a lot on it now, is prayer. Prayer is powerful. But if prayer is your end, you're going nowhere. If prayer is your end, you're going nowhere. If casting out demons is your end, you're going nowhere. You're going nowhere. Why? Because Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. In me is the fullness of life. You need to find yourself in me to get to where the Father is. You need to get into that place of peace and rest. Because you know what? We all want to be there. Even people who don't know Jesus, just like Bayless Conley saying, he's talking about Jesus. He doesn't know who Jesus is. He's heard the name. But in him is that desire. God's placed inside every one of us a desire for that fullness. We don't know what that fullness is. We don't know what wholeness is. But we know there must be something like it. There must be something that's going to take this emptiness, which is death. You know, he shared this morning, it's that spiritual death. You know, that emptiness that we can't put words to, but it's there. So we all know it's there. But the problem is we're trying to do it on our own constantly. We're trying to get there and trying to experiment all different ways. He's the only way for us to get it. Because when we find ourselves in him, Romans 10:3, I preached in the scripture a while ago, amazing portion of scripture. I would encourage you to highlight it. Okay? Romans 10:3 says, Jesus is the end of the law. Other translations, Jesus is the culmination of the law, the perfection of the law. So in other words, all the do's and don'ts, everything we try and do, and every, you know what? I'm going to say something now very outrageous, but even the stuff that the secular humanists and the New Agers, there's portions of the stuff that they're doing that has got a hint of God. Why? Because they're getting inspiration about what's by what's around them. And what does Romans tell us? That He's left His fingerprint in everything around us. All of nature points towards Him. So if you're going to get your inspiration there, somewhere along the line, you're going to get something that's close to where God is trying to point you. But then Jesus comes along, and in Romans 10:3 says that He is all of that, all of the law, all the do's and don'ts. He is the perfection of it. He's the completion, the wholeness. Everything, if you squish it all into a little clay ball, my daughter loves doing that, and she loves doing that, but then she eats it. So it really, and I don't know why she keeps eating it, because it's like salty. Have you ever eaten dough? Not that I've ever, actually I have. But it's really salty, it's disgusting, but for some reason she loves it. She's just like, but I think she loves it because we keep telling her not to do it. That's probably it. But, so if you take all of that law, and you say, you know what, if you did all of these laws, what is it, 600 odd laws at that stage, say just the Ten Commandments, let's just stick to the Ten Commandments. If you took all Ten Commandments and you squashed it together, we could say that's how God wants you to be. But unfortunately, Scripture also says if you've broken one, you've broken them all. So now if you squished all of that together and you said, okay, I'm a squished together version of all the law, then I'd be like, yes, I've made it. I found salvation in the law. But it's impossible. And then Jesus comes along and He says, you know what? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Romans 10:3 says He is the perfection of the law. If you take all that law and you just squish it into a little ball, it'll look like Jesus. It'll talk like Jesus. It'll walk like Jesus. It'll love like Jesus. So for Him to be the way means for us to find the perfection in the law. The law is perfected in Jesus. We need to find ourselves in Jesus. Okay, Jesus says, I am the way. So that's the only way we can even come close to being in the Father's presence. For Him to speak that life over us. To speak that love over us. For we can know what our worth is. It's the only way we're going to know our worth is to be in His presence. Am I right? Someone say amen. Only way we're going to know this is to be in His presence. Why? Because He created us. You know what? He knows where we're going to end up. It's a bit crazy now. We're not going to go into that. But you know, He doesn't sit in our birth till death. He's all encompassing of all of it. So who better to give us direction than the one who's already placed that path out for us? Only problem is we don't know where that path is. So we need Him to show us where it is. We don't know where that road is. We hit that obstacle, like, again, Bayless Conley and so many other, Rick Rousseau also, with the flooding. We hit that one obstacle, we're like, this can't be from God. This can't be from God. God promised me life and hope and a future and glory. This can't be from Him. You know, the reason you're thinking that is because you're not connected with Him. If you're not connected with Him, He can't take you through that obstacle. He knows that obstacle is going to be there. Okay? He saw that, you know, person at your work who started spreading lies, but He knew that person was going to do that, but He's also made a way out for you already beforehand. The truth. He says, I'm the way to the Father, the truth, and the life. The reason I split that up, most commentators believe that that is the way to the Father, and then He expands on it by saying He's the truth and the life. Now again, I've preached on this portion of Scripture before, and this is always kind of, okay, but the way, the truth, and the life. How do we make it something that is, you know, that people can, you know, grasp? If someone came in here and they've never read a book in their life, how do we break it down? It's like the truth. The truth being in Jesus is the expansion and the expression of all of creation. All reason, all purpose for creation is found in Jesus. Everything that operates, however it operates, in Jesus we find the understanding, the explanation for all of it. Exactly how we were meant to understand it. Yes, so you might not necessarily, actually you could if you wanted to, but you know, we're not going to become a microbiologist now just because we're in Jesus. Some of us already are and we become greater microbiologists, okay, if that is possible. But that's not what I mean. I mean, in that, there's an understanding that in Him, everything was created. And not just that, the truth of who God really is, which is the biggest deception out there. You know, all roads lead to heaven. Says who? Says who? Another man who was unhappy with his overweightness okay, and had a whole lot of people follow him just because he sounded good and he sounded like he knew what he was saying. Now he's decided there's another way to heaven, into eternity. There's another way to enlightenment. But when we find ourselves in Jesus, no one can question us that we believe that God is it. That through Jesus, we have an open access to the truth. To the way the world is supposed to be. That there's no debate about what's right and wrong, because in Jesus, there's no falseness. There's no lie. So if he says, trust me, sleeping with your girlfriend now, doesn't matter how good it might feel, doesn't matter how much you love her, doesn't matter what all your friends say, and they say, oh, you know what, you've got to, you know, ride different bicycles to find the perfect bicycle. Doesn't matter if they say that. I'm telling you it's not right. And if you look to me, you can understand you don't even need an explanation from me, because you know I've already seen this play out a million times. I created you for a specific purpose, okay? And if you look to me, I'll explain everything just through my beer walking this road with you. You know, the greatest lie that God is distant. Jesus brings the truth of that. God isn't distant. He wants to be a father to all of us. You know, especially in a time now, it is so needed where there are no more fathers. We went with Tian. Where's Tian now? Busy patrolling the perimeter. Awesome guy. We went with him and Celeste to Donnie Ackerman. Went to go pray for the school, their headmaster, amazing woman. You know, God's just opened doors for her there to minister the word. And she just, you can see she's a man, she's a woman. A woman. She's a woman with a heart after God's purposes. Really is. It's amazing. So we prayed there for a while. I can't remember, where was I going with the story? That's the truth. Yes. So we prayed there for them, and then when we left, she obviously told us, I mean, she had, that very evening, they had a case with rape, and it's a primary school, with some kid about rape at the primary school. And then there's another kid who brought, you know, gangsterism, there's knives and stabbings and stuff at the school, primary school. So we now prayed, and we got excited. Me and Theo were like, we're coming back next week. We're going to come minister to our whole school. How do we get into the high school? We get into the high school. Who wants to come with us to the high school? Anybody? You guys in the middle there? Oh yeah, there we go. Renee's ready. Renee can do the altar call. So we leave. Tian comes into the office a little while later. We're busy sitting there, you know, like we always do in the office, having a coffee, doing nothing, you know. Tian comes in there very distressed. He comes in, he said, just after we left, he obviously, because he does a class there with the grade sevens, a career development thing. Just after we left, he said, what, wasn't maybe 5 minutes after we left, 10 minutes after we left, a dad came into the school, completely drunk, completely wasted, coming in, looking for the headmaster now, who's a woman, older woman, she's what, 60s, because she's now almost retired, comes in looking for the headmaster. She's doing an amazing job in that school. I mean, they actually wanted to close the school. They wanted to close the school down because of discipline problems. And then she came in and she was like, I'll stick up my hand. As a woman, you know, I'm going to come in and I'm going to fix the discipline problems in the school. But just through love. You can see it's not that she comes in there and it's like, tononki. You know, it's literally just, you know, love. You know, I think if they sent the guy and they didn't want to do tononki. But she came in just with love. So anyway, so she's doing this amazing work. And just after we leave, just after we prayed for the school and just declared stuff over the school, of course, like the devil would do, he would come in with a dad, a father of all things, which actually says a lot about what he's trying to do and where our country's at. Completely drunk out of his mind, threatening, not even threatening. Tian said he wanted to attack the headmaster. Eventually, Tian came down and the caretaker, and they had to drag him out there physically. And they were saying they like literally had to like WWE this guy, like headlock him and drag him out, shouting things like, "My son is going to come slit your throat," and you know all that sort of stuff. This woman is doing nothing but love his child, and that's the response again. But that's what the devil does, because now this father figure in this child's life—that's what he portrays now to all those young boys there. That's what what is a dad? I don't want to. No, if that's what a dad's like, I don't really want to follow him. So Jesus comes along, and he's like, look, I know the world really stinks right now. I know right now that for you, God is out there. In other words, if He's out there, all these problems we have here is actually our own. We've got to sort it out first so we can get to God. And Jesus is like, no, let me show you who God really is. John 6:46, He says, no one has seen the Father, okay, except for Him who comes from the Father. John 14:9. Let me just read that to you. I've been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? I'm going to read another one. John 10:30. First term. He says, I and the Father are one. Okay, obviously he explains a whole lot before that, so I'm doing the very incorrect thing now when using scripture in the Bible, but there's a whole lot of stuff he says before. But just that, I and the Father are one. So in other words, Jesus is saying, when you look at me, when you see what I do, when you see the compassion I have on the down and out, on the broken, when you see the love I express, when you see the fire that I respond when my children are kept from me, when the things and the statues of what all that is sacred and holy gets violated, which is actually supposed to be a den of love for those who are looking towards me, when it gets violated, how I respond, the jealousy I have for each and every one of the people that are supposed to be with me, how I attack the Pharisees just with scripture and challenge them to be like, this is not what it's about. It's not about regulations. It's about the love that my Father has for them. What He's doing then is He's showing us that's how the Father sees us. That's what He means when He says, I've come to show you the Father's heart. When you see me, you see the Father. You don't see, when you see me, you see this God who's distant. You see this intimate desire for the Father to want to be present with us daily. You know, and right now, and especially like with this young boy, can you imagine what he experiences when he goes home? His dad's not just threatened the one person who's probably showed him love. The one authority in his life who's not treated him like a criminal, but treated him like someone who's worth loving. And then he goes home, and the Father who's supposed to protect him, who's supposed to shield him, came home and threatened that one person who loves him. Not only that, probably beats him when he gets home. Maybe even other stuff. And that's the world we live in. So what is the hope for those kids in Donny Ackerman and all these other schools and all, you know what, not just Donny Ackerman, Somerset College, Paul Valley, all these kids who have that in their life. What is the only hope for them? All the Bayless Connollys walking around with drugs and they have these questions in their mind. Only hope for them is for them to understand what the truth is. And the truth is you have a Father who loves you. You have a Father who loves you, who wants to be intimate with you, not in a sick, perverse way like the other people in your family, but in a way that's going to build you up, that's going to help you on this path that is filled with so many hazards, so many temptations. That's who Jesus is. That's who Jesus is, and that's what He came to show us. And the last one, the life. John 6:58. Jesus says He's the bread of life. If you eat from Him, you'll have eternal life. Life as opposed to death. Life understanding that there's more than just where we are now temporarily. And when we look to Jesus, we're looking beyond our circumstance. Because we're looking straight at the face of eternity. Can you imagine being in a place where everything that makes you who you are, the person who made you who you are, you spend eternity with, the fullness that you're so searching for, you found. I wrote something down here. I'm just trying to figure out what I wrote. Jesus is, when we find ourselves in Jesus, we're the full expression of who we're meant to be. And what I mean by that, I mean, outside of Jesus, we are trying to express ourselves, trying to find out who we are. And you often hear people being like, hey, I'm just being myself. I'm just being myself. Getting high. Smoking some weed. Whoop, whoop. You know? I'm just being myself. Are you really just being yourself? So being yourself is a high, drunk moron. Okay? That's being yourself. Because tomorrow, you're somebody else again. So how can that be the full expression of who you are if tomorrow you're someone else again? I mean, think about it. Obviously, they don't think about it because I used to be that same person. I'm like, yo, whatever, next weekend I'll be myself again because the whole week I'll be a student and then on the weekend I'll be myself. Okay, so you're only yourself for, 6 hours in the evening on a weekend and then next morning you feel like complete rubbish because your head's going to explode and you want to throw up the whole time. So that's the full expression of who you are. So that's the life that you want to live. That's yourself having, you know, it's my life. I can do what I want. It's my life. This is how I want to live it. Okay. It's my life. This is who I am in my life. Then Jesus comes and says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. In me, you have the full expression of who you are. The true expression of who you are. Because who you are leads into eternity. Because you were created for eternity. You're created in the image of the eternal God. If you're created in the image of the eternal God, you are destined for eternity. You obviously have a choice of which part of eternity you want to be in. Because both are going to be eternity. One is going to be Kentucky Fried Chicken, and the other one is going to be love and life forever with the King. You know, we laugh. Have you ever seen that chicken fry in those vats? Not so funny if you're a chicken. Okay. Okay? So in Jesus, we find that life, which I'm defining as a full expression of who you should be and who you are meant to be. Okay, because when we're looking for that, I think eventually it's going to run out. You know? Those drugs are only cool for so long before you have to go for something more. You know? That check your dating is only going to be hot for so long, unfortunately. And then you have to either move on or just be like, okay, this is how it is now. She defined me. She made me cool. You know, you can only play rugby for so long. You can only play soccer or hockey for so long. And if that is what defines you, it's temporary. It's going to run out. It is going to run out. Then Jesus says, find the fulfillment of your life in me. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto you. Seek me first and all these other things will be there. You know, we all have dreams. We all have these aspirations. You know, and I don't believe God is opposed to those things. But what He wants us to do is to bring it to Him so He can refine it and define it for you, that you can understand fully what it actually means for eternity. Because He can use anything that He gives us, all the gifts He gives us, all the abilities and talents He gives us. He gives it to us for a reason. I really believe He does. But when we focus more on the gifts and talents than on Him, that thing can just as easily become a poison, even though He gave it to us, than a drug or anything else. Because that becomes our drug. So Jesus says, focus on me. I'm the life. Okay, I'm the bread of life. If you feed off me, if you find your sustenance in me, you will live forever. And then, you know, the band can come up so long. He then asked them, who do you say I am? Why does He ask them that? Because they were in relationship with Him. So if they don't know who He is, then they've clearly been thinking about something else. They've been somewhere else. So He says, who do you say I am? You were in relationship with me. Who do you say I am? You walked with me everywhere. When you saw what I did. And while doing that, God revealed to you who I am. Again, and it's just like, you know, you guys know me, some of you know me better than other people. You know Theo, but I can guarantee you're not going to know him as well as what his sons know him. Why is that? Because they're in a relationship that is tighter. You know, and unfortunately, you know, we all wish we could be that close to Theo, but unfortunately, only his sons and his wife are ever going to get there. Only his wife and kids are ever going to get that close to him. But it also means, doesn't matter how we think about Him, what we think about Him, we're never going to know Him as much as those who are in relationship with Him in that level. And being in relationship with Him on that level, He's going to reveal stuff to them about Himself that no one else knows. That is going to tighten that bond even more. That's going to make them trust Him even more. And just like these disciples that were following Jesus, they were in that relationship. They started seeing things that no one else would have seen. And the more they saw that, the more God revealed, more God showed them stuff because they're in that relationship, the more He revealed to them. The tighter their bond got, the closer they got. You know, I've got a little girl now, just over 2 years old. The stuff I do in front of her, you guys would never see me do. Okay, maybe some of the youth maybe saw me do it. But that was just from a distance. Okay, the stuff I do in front of her is ridiculous. It's embarrassing. If I record myself, she now knows how to take photos on my phone. So unfortunately, the other day I was going through, you're obviously going to be very careful with that. It's especially if you like just get out the shower and you just hear in the background, paparazzi, you know. So she catches me in those bad moments, and we were, you know, obviously fooling around, and I was pulling faces and stuff at some stage. And then I was going through my phone, and I was like, yes, sir, my memory has gotten really full all of a sudden. And there's like a million photos on there. It's all me, like, all on it, you know. So she sees a side of me that no one else sees, you know. But in seeing that, she understands my heart for her. Being so close to me, seeing a side of me, me almost showing my vulnerability in the sense of allowing myself to be almost degraded in front of her. But just for the sake of that relationship, just for the sake of that relationship, I bring myself down to her level. I act like a child in front of her just so that I can connect with the child in her. She brings out the child in me so that we can connect. And in that connecting, we get tighter and tighter. And I'm going to ask us to stand. We can close the eyes. And you know, then you've got to ask yourself, now, if Jesus came now and he asked you, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Some of you are going to say, you're my financial aid. You're an alternative to my drug addiction. You're an alternative to my porn addiction. You're an alternative to my... And Jesus is saying, if that's all I am to you, then you don't see all of who I am. Then you're not like my little daughter that is so close. She's going to see a side of me that no one else sees. Because the great thing about it is, when you step that close to Jesus, he is going to give you that revelation. Jesus says, flesh and blood, flesh and bone has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. God has given you a further understanding because of the closeness we have. And an amazing thing is, just like I bring myself to the level of my daughter to connect with her so that she doesn't miss anything of my love for her. You know, I'll talk in a baby voice. I'll do all those things just so that she doesn't miss it. I'll get on my knees. I'll crawl on my hands and feet. I'll talk like she talks. I'll act like she acts just so that she can see the love I have for her. She'll grow up, and as she grows up, I'll speak differently to her. She'll move on to solid food. And in exactly the same way, Jesus had to come down and always be like a child to us, to speak our language, to connect with us, speak in parables of the flesh, because he said we'd never understand heavenly things. We'd never understand it. So what is purpose? But he's not trying to impress us with how intellectual he is. He just wants our heart. That's all he wants. And then he comes down and he steps down out of heaven, and he's just like, okay, I'm here now. Let's just have some FaceTime, you and me. Let's just have some FaceTime. Let's just connect. Let me pull funny faces with you. Let me do all this stuff just so that you can see what my heart is for you. So you can see the truth of who the Father is. So you can experience the life that speaks of who you really are. Not who you think you are, not what the world has said you have to be. You know? The world says, because you're pretty, you're obviously not this, or you are this. Because you're, you know, skinny, you're this, or you're not that. Because you can do this, you're that. Because you can do this, you're that. God says, no, you're not defined by that. You're not defined by what you do. You're defined by who I say you are. And who I say you are is a son and a daughter in my house. Someone who's worthy to be loved. Someone who's worthy to be in my presence and to look on to eternity, to hope for the glory of eternity. That's who I say you are, and that's who you were created to be. You know what? You are... Yeah. You know, if you're standing here this evening and you've never just sat down and thought, Jesus, who are you? I responded to that altar call once, but I've never actually just taken the time out to be like, who are you? Someone would have walked in here now. We had a bump into someone on the street. Who are you? Because in asking those questions, I guarantee you God is going to tell you who he is. How he's going to tell you is, he's going to do this. Like I do with my daughter. And he's going to sit there with you like this. And you're going to have that closeness. You're going to have that intimacy. And he's going to start showing you, this is who I am. I'm here for you, number one. I'm here to love you. I'm here to help you stand up when you fall. But you need to start asking those questions. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus? Is Jesus the one who walks past the person on the pavement who's down and out? Is Jesus the one who gets angry at home when things doesn't go his way? Is Jesus the one who's not, he's a bit, couldn't care less about what's going on in the kingdom because other people are doing the work. Someone is doing something somewhere, so I'm okay to just sit here. Is that Jesus? So I tell you what, if we find ourselves in Jesus, like I said at the beginning, we're on different planes of who this Jesus is. Because the Jesus I serve is passionate about reaching the lost. He's passionately passionate about reaching the lost. All he thinks about all day long is how his name is going to be glorified as people's lives start changing. That's all he thinks about. He doesn't care about our church politics. He doesn't care about who's winning the rugby. And look, I'm a passionate rugby supporter. But my passion for rugby is about third on the list next to Jesus. So I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes. And I'm just going to pray for us. And I want to put this out there. I don't know who's all here. You know what, I'm pretty new in this congregation also. You might have been here a million times. Maybe it's your first time. But I can tell you now, if you've never come to that point where you say, Jesus, I want to be in that relationship that he's talking about. I want to be that son or that daughter in your house that you can start showing me who you really are. Because right now, I thought I knew you well, but the more Kurt's speaking, the more I'm like, I don't know you like that. Because how I see you is being defined by the articles I read in the newspaper. How I see you is being defined by all the evolution stories I'm hearing in the classroom. And if that's the case, you're not defining yourself for me, Jesus. You're not showing me your heart. And if you're not showing me your heart, it's because I'm not in a place to see it. So everybody's eyes is closed. If you're here this evening, like I said, I don't know, maybe you've been here a million times. And you want to see Jesus either for the first time, or you've actually come to realize you haven't seen Jesus like that. You haven't seen him like Peter saw him walking that road. Or Paul saw him. If that is you, if you've never said, Jesus, I want to be in that relationship with you. I've tricked myself into saying I am in that relationship, but my heart doesn't break for the lost like yours. My heart doesn't break. And you know what? And it hasn't bothered me up till now that it doesn't break for the lost like yours does. If that is you and you want to get to that place again, because I tell you what, when you have met the Jesus that I'm talking about, that he's talking about when he describes himself, if you've met that Jesus, your heart will break for everybody who's out there. We're not going to sit here and be critical of the band and be critical of the lights, because that's just all, that's nothing, that's earthly. It's great, it's fun, but it's second, third, fourth on the list of what we're actually doing here. So if you're that person, I want to invite you right now to take a bold step and be like, I want to meet to that Jesus. I thought I knew the Jesus, but I just realized now I don't. Because I want that life. I don't want to run from weekend to weekend or day to day trying to redefine myself. I want to be defined by someone greater than me, by Jesus Christ. If you're here and you've never stepped into that relationship, well, everybody's eyes closed, I just want you to raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to know this Jesus that you're talking about. I want to be in that relationship of love with this Jesus. Is anybody like that here tonight? Anybody? It's not about pressure. This is not about anything like this. This is just you wanting to be where Jesus is. Is anybody like that? Thank you for that hand. Is anybody else? It could be your first time you're doing this. It can be your 50th time. All that matters is that you do it. All that matters is that you say, I want to be where you are, Jesus. I was there once, and I remember that time when I was just so excited about your kingdom, but I've lost it. I want to be back there again. Is there anybody else? Okay, so we're all at that place. I'm going to ask the band just to end off with, I will exalt you. But this time when we sing it, want you to look square at Jesus' face. Just close your eyes. I want you to picture Him being there. And I want you to, I don't want you to, God wants you to hunger to see Him. Just as you are known, He wants you to know Him in the same manner. So when we sing this, don't say, I will exalt you, I will exalt you. You need to know who you're exalting. That intimate knowledge of who this person is. And if you need prayer, we're just going to go through this once, and then we're going to end off. Like I said, we're not going to be too long tonight. We're not going to be long. We're going to go through this once. But if you need prayer for anything, you know, those of you who've raised your hand, I invite you to come to the front. Let us, not because we want you to stand in front so everybody can see you, because we want you to take that step. You know, because it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks here. And if you're worried about how you look, how everybody, just like I love what Bayless Conley said this morning also, it's to break that fear of man over you. Because you know what, if we can't just come to that place and receive from God, where people can see, I'm that person who raised my hand to say, I want to meet more of Jesus. I can guarantee you, you're not going to be walking down the street one day and all of a sudden, you're like, hey, I'm just going to pray randomly in front of the crowd for this person. I can guarantee you that's not going to be your first step. Your first step is just being in my small group. Guys, I'm struggling with this. I want to pray with all of you. At church, guys, this is me. I'm the one who's struggling with this. I want God to fix me. I want God to help me work through this. From there, God's like, because of that obedience, this is the first step to where I want you to take you on that path I've already set out for you. So, Ben, can we sing that? And if you need prayer, especially if you raise your hand, please come to the front. Let us pray with you while everybody is busy worshiping right now.
I just want to share, maybe just from my own life, that you know, we many times want to look at what our strength is and what our weaknesses are, and we want to do the things that we are good at for God and for the kingdom. And I've been saying to myself, I'm not a good counselor, because whenever people come to me, it's like I get drained because of all the burdens that's been put on me. And then I go and I pray, and God says, Lord, release these burdens from me. And I've been saying to myself, I'm not called to be a counselor. I'm terrible at this, because I get so down and depressed. And previously, if I had to do an oral, that was the worst thing that I would do. And when I wanted to do the offering, I wanted to throw up every time I had to do the offering. And it was 2 years that I wanted to puke before I had to do the offering. And afterwards I said, luckily they'll never ask me again. And then that next month I get that email again, that I'm on that date. And then I thought, oh God, I must get over this fear of man, so I'll do it again. And then I'll have the shaking before I do it. And my worst time I had to do it was when Angus Buchan preached in Stellenbosch, and I had to do the offering. And we have like this rule that you only have 3 minutes. But I never needed, I only used 2 minutes anyway, and that was my whole message. So I just wanted to get out of there. And Heinrich Titus, he stood behind me and he said to me, Theo, God has called you for this. He's called you for this. And and I walked up there, and something changed in me that day. And there was like 1,000 people, and I had to give my 1 minute offering message. And I did it in 30 seconds. But God blessed that. And you know, the more we look at who we are, the more we miss it. Don't look at what you can do well. Look at how good and how big God is, and how God wants to use you wherever you are. And you know, I want to encourage you, don't come to me to get help. Go to God. He's the source. He's our life. He's my source as well. So all I can do is, because I'm a terrible counselor, because all I do is I go and I say, yo, look at Jesus. And then they come back again with the same question. I said, but I gave you the best counsel there is. It's Jesus. And people look at me, but I still want to commit suicide. And I'm like, don't you get it? Jesus died on the cross for you. But I realize that even in that place, I've got to be patient to help people say, but no, it is all about Him. And I just want all of you just to look up to Jesus. You know, just this is the thing. And for us, I don't know if I can do this, but I'm going to try it. Rick Russo did this with us. If I want to balance this, I have to move. Very difficult to balance a chair. So if you want to balance your relationship with Jesus, you will have to move. But you must keep your eyes on Jesus. And you have to move. You can't sit still and follow Jesus. And what God is just speaking to me is that our faith results in works. If you know Jesus, you will want to do things for Him. If you don't want to do things for Him, I want to encourage you that we can pray with you, that you can meet with Him. Because when you meet Him, you just want to do things for Him. This is not works. This is not dead works. This is love. You want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. You want to tell people, He changed my life. I used to be this asshole person, and God changed me completely. And I just want to share love with God. So maybe if you are here and you feel like, oh man, I would love to be used by God. I would love to know Him like that. I really want to pray with you tonight. Just that you can have significance in your life. Not because of that what you can do well, but that thing that you are terrible at, that God does it in your life. And He gives you, He gets the glory because you know in your own strength it would never have happened. It would never have happened. If you are terrible, like Karenae Becker said, he said, God, I'll do anything for you except two things. I will not speak in front of people and I will not pray in front of people. And he says, now that's all that he does. He speaks in front of people and he prays in front of people. And he says, never bargain with Jesus because he was a Jew. You don't bargain with Jews. So your weakness is that thing that God wants to use in your life. If you can't speak in front of people, you're going to speak before people. If you can speak really well, God is probably going to use you to serve somewhere there in the background. Because God wants us to walk in faith. He wants us, like, God, I cannot do this thing, but I need your strength to go and stand out there. And to be that, God, in my own strength, I can never, never pray for that person. But I need you to now pray for me. This man, Rick Russo, he said, the whole town is under flood. Everybody in church doesn't have a house anymore. And if such a disaster will strike us now, where are we? Are we ready to be mobilized? 1,800 volunteers they raised up in a couple of days because people are serving. They are being used. Like, God, where do you want to use me? So for me and our church, I want to encourage you to say, yes, God, wherever I'm going to move, but I will get the balance at some stage. At some stage we're going to get it. So if there's anyone that says, oh man, I want to meet Jesus, I want to encourage you, just call out. Say, God, I want to meet you. I want to know you.
Yeah, tonight during intercession, the Lord just gave me the word of open doors. And yeah, maybe you've been standing before a closed door for a while. Maybe you've had dreams of this closed door, like a friend of mine. Or maybe you find yourself in a really deep hole, like I did about a year ago or more. And I just want to share a bit of my testimony with you. Not the whole story, because that's going to take a long. And you're welcome to hear it, but you're going to have to invite me for coffee. And yeah, unlike the other testimony, I actually grew up in the church my whole life. Until the age of 18 when I left school in church every Sunday, and really close to the Lord, on fire and everything. But when I went to university, I made a lot of wrong decisions, and I ended up in a bad state. And just believing the lies of the devil, he often tried convincing me to take my own life because he knew what God intended for me. But thank God for His grace, for me being here today. So yeah, about 3 years ago, God told me I knew he lived, and I knew who he was, but I wasn't serving him. And God just told me, find out what it means to serve me. And I didn't do anything about it. I wrote in the start of the 2011 journal, and I didn't do anything for that whole year to find out what it means to serve him. And come 2012, I was really, really unhappy. And I don't know how I was going to be happy again, how I was ever going to find that joy in my life. Because as a child growing up, I didn't really laugh that much, but I always had a smile on my face. And those who didn't know my name knew me as the boy with the smile. And I just didn't know I was going to find that smile again. And I started reading Psalm 1. And I'm going to read it to you, just the first verse, which is, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And Afrikaans that says, om jou vreugde in die woord van die Here te vind en dit dag en nag te oordink. And so for 6 months I really looked to the Lord, and I read this verse every day, and I started reading from Matthew through to Romans. And come September last year, is probably exactly a year ago today, I don't know, the Lord woke me up one night and he just told me what to do, and he started speaking to me and telling me what it means for me to be happy and how I'm happy. And I realized that what makes me happy is to help others, and to help others with the skills he gave me. They can be on their computers or in their business, but what really matters to him is helping other people find the Lord, and that's why he wants me here tonight. And maybe you're in that hole tonight, and the devil has tried taking or convincing you to take your own life as well. And that also deep, and you've tried by all means to climb out of the wall, but slid back even deeper. And you're looking up to the Lord, and you're calling out, Lord, Lord, help me. But tonight, Jesus is right next to you with an open door, and he's saying, come and meet me. I'm right next to you. Come. And tonight you can make the decision to go into that door, or like me, you can keep on reading the word for 6 months and keep on trying and calling out. And yes, God has grace for you, and God will pull you out of that hole if you trust in him. But tonight you can come to Jesus and get to know him and just call out his name. But even if you don't come here to pray tonight, I just want to say, if the Lord tells you to do something, if he tells you to kneel, go and kneel. He will reward you, and he will show you the way. Because I grew up, even though I grew up in the church, I was never really obedient to God because of a self-confidence issue. And the Lord showed me in this past year that I don't need to be confident in myself, because in his word he just says, I must trust in him and he will make all things work together for my good. So if you need prayer, we'll be happy to pray for you. Thank you.
Amen. If that word's for you, please, let us pray with you. For the rest, guys, have a lacquer week. Okay, high fives to everybody. Nice spiritual high five. No, it's not in the Bible, but we can do it. It's okay. The holy kiss. Just know me. Cool, guys. Have a lacquer week. Be blessed. If you still need prayer, please come to the front.
Sorry, I just forgot to say, today I'm feeling really, really happy and really, really blessed. And that's actually the testimony. Never mind the story.
Amen.